had a turn to, it is now almost quarter to three. Can you hear me?
Is it fine that we can start? There are more chairs here, especially on the front row. Feel free. Feel free to sit on these chairs on the front row. Members, thanks for coming through again, and thanks, Mama Lutata, Putino Sisi, Balingan Bam. Akubane nawo apho bakhona beko wonke ngabadala mna. And one day when I grow old, I want to be like you. Let's have Mr. Klassen. Is he here? can we go back to that golden rule, males having not to wear hats unless it is traditional or religious, and also our cell phones are off. If they are not off, they are on silent mode, and you do not answer the phone in the House of Parliament. This is an extension of Parliament. This committee represents Parliament. It's a committee of Parliament. But insofar as matters related to agriculture, forest and fisheries are concerned. Mr. Klassen, without loss of time, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Colette Arnold Groot, thank you for the forum, Mr. Chairperson, wat ik vandaag weer heb, na al die jaren, wat ik nog weer hier kan staan. Ik wil net noemen, hier is bijna wat ik ken, bijna wat dit weer is. Ik ben Joseph John Klassen, zoals ik al zei, Tony Klassen, die vloek dek, dat vloek niet meer. Het gestopt vloek nou.
So sorry, let's just clear out this other specific one. Waar onze token? Waar die token? Dat is niet token zo. Dat is token zo. Enige mens? Wil je token? Oké, dank u.
Baie dankie meneer. Kan er iets over baie vissen mannen wat Engels praat, jongens, wat Afrikaans, afvloek met mekaar. Maar in elk geval, dat is een van die mannen wat die strakkel bedrijf in die vis. Soos hier met die en die dood en hulle allemaal ken, hulle weet wie ek is. Ek was al 50 jaar op hier seewater. En wat ek kan sien in die visbedrijf, is daar en was daar nog nooit een verandering wat er mij tevreden kan stellen waarvan ik tevreden kan wees nie. Zelfs al het hulle ook nog gesê, co-ops en quotas en al wat het ding is wat uitgekom het van 1994 af tot nou toe, weet ek nie wat er voordeel dat wie is vir ons nie. Want volgens my is die visserman'se toekomst, die arm visserman'se toekomst, is in die rykman'se sak. Ek is jammer, ek is jammer, ek kan nie anders ter om dit te noem nie. Want ek strakel al van die tyd af tot nou toe. Ek het van PE afgekom en hier naartoe gekom, hoeveel man En hier gekom, praat en gepraat en gepraat en niks het gebeur. Net sekere mense wat hier gekom het, het gekry. Jy hoor ook net die nuus, hy en het gekry, die en het gekry. En dan moet jy hoor die klomp belofte wat gegee is. Dat het gesê, ons wil dit vir die vissermanne doen. En ons wil dit so graag maak, ons wil gebouw opzit, ons wil die vissermanne afgryp. Ons wil dit doen vir die vissermanne, oe jylle, hulle wil sommer nou die wereld doen. Hulle wil die vissermanne sy voete soen. Maar die moment wat hulle die quotas het, dan is die quotas vir hulle families. En nie vir die vissermanne. Nou dan, dit, ek het geneig om te sê dat die ou government wat beter gewees as hy nou is, want die ou government het die hulle gewet, waar staan jy? Maar nie nou hier nie. Want hoekom hier is nou meer buitenstaanlik wat quotas het as wat die vissermanne is. Want die vissermanne kyk nou rond, waar is hulle toekomst? Ons het geen toekomst nie. En dit is waarom ek sê, ek voel verbitter om die goede te praat, maar ek het nie steeds en ek gaan praat nou. Want ek wil het example maak. Ek het so moe geraak van praat van quotas, toe daar 7 jaar gelede, want dit is in die vijfer moesel, nie? 7 jaar gelede kom ek, toe is daar een quota uit, experimental quota. Van white and muscle. Nou, ek het experience van white and muscle, hoe om te bewerken, om uit te halen, en ACT wat doen. Toen ek een lawyer aangeskaf, en ek het naar de UPE toe gegaan, naar die Hosking toe, professor Hosking toe, en gaan praat daar, want hulle is die mannen wat experimental quota uitgereik het, wat nou weet wat aangaan. Hulle in die school man, hulle allemaal. Nou goed, ek het al die wette en die procedure gevolg soos het moet wees. En ek het opgekom Kaap toe met die lawyer, om die leiding te kom betaal hierso. En die leiding is nou betaal, nou wacht ek. Voor die experimental quota. Want in die quota, laat ek het net so stel, het ek vrouw mense gevat met hulle mannen verloor het officier. Want dit is nie vir mansmense om die werk bedoel nie. Dit is eindelijk meer vir vrouwmense om het licht te werk is. Want die vrouwmense het maar daar een leiding baie zwaar gekry. En dan had ek 3 mansmense gebruik om die so over my goed te draag. Ek het my eie plane opgetrek vir die white sand mussel. Omdat ek geweet het wat, of hoe om het te maak dat het gerieflik is vir ons. Nou goed, al die goed is het ingegaan en ek het gewacht. Op oula, toe ek weer opkom Kaap toe, toe kom vraag ek nou navraag toe, toe doen ek navraag in die parlement, wat gaat aan? Ek weet dat in die office, is nog die boek geweest was. Ja, in elk geval. Toe sê die dame vir my, maar hier verstaan nie, ek sê, ja, company op die computer. Toe sê ek nou, hoe jy die geld ontvang? Toe sê, sy weet nie wie die gewerkt nie. Niemand weet nie. En hy ding het doodgeloop. Sy ding het doodgeloop, hoor wat ek sê, hy doodgeloop, totdat het nou, laatste keer uit te komen. Toe vraag ek van my klas, hoe lang ken jy die white sand mussel story? Toe sê ek, ek weet, want die Portugese het aanzoek gedoen, en hulle het gekry, maar op een voorwaarde, ek was die man wat verkeerd het, dat hulle nie kan verder gaan nie, want hulle het met een laaigraaf gekom. Getrouwe hemelse vader, met een laaigraaf, het hulle gekom om gaten te kom maak, om die white sand mussel te bewerk. En ons het aanzoek gedoen, om met die handen, die white sand mussel uit te graven, en dan die zakjes voor te maken, en zo aan, en dit is nou my precies geweest. Toen sê hulle, oké, goed, hulle gaat my toekeer. Ek had tot nou nog nie antwoord te krijgen, nou hier die white sand mussel is nou weer op die proces. En toen ek nou die documenten deurlees, toen sê ek, hulle sê, dit moet nou, elke een moet nou uithalen, ja, dat is allemaal, dat is een spurgestel, zo ja. Elke een moet nou uithalen, en dan in die zakjes ingooien, en dan moet hulle zo'n merkjes krijgen, en dan moet hulle maar verkoop van die goed. Nou luister, mensen, als elke een nou voor homself kan uithalen, hoeveel gaten gaan daar op die strand wees? En die mensen wat nou op die strand woont, die kinders wat daar loop, en hy kan val nou in die gaten, dan krijg die ene ook skuld wat die wet gehoorzaam, en die ene, wat dan nou nie die wet gehoorzaam, want die dierse gewaarde die, want ook hy is nou net daar om sy goed te verkoop. Dan die ene zo'n mark is misschien 10 rand de kilo, die ene zo'n mark is misschien 20 rand de kilo, die ene zo'n mark is misschien 30 rand de kilo. Nou, zo ook, automatisch in, dan wordt die hele markt geschooid. En een PE, kansen ze dat en die meeste white sand mussel, kom ik zeg voor jullie, want dat is geen, die experimenten was klaargetoen geweest voor 100 ton, en toen vraag ons voor 80 ton. sodat die hengelaars kan 20 ton gebruik om hierdie watermosse vir ons te gee. Nou wat my rede is, hoekom kan die Perlemoen dit af? Jylle Perlemoen, prijs die Heere, as ek al gesak wat ek al ophaal. Hoekom kan die watermosse dan nie weer op die stelsel van experimenten voor te kom nie? So dat daar een beheer kan wees voor die stelsel en dat daar dat ons die oude stelsel weer gebruik so ek om bijvoorbeeld gehad het met die 10 vrouwmense en hoe kan ek sê, nie die 10 nie, maar so seker natuurlijk nog meer wees. Dat hy stelsel kan werk, want ek sien maar daarom, dan kan ons verantwoordelijk wees vir die gaten wat gemaakt raak, want op die lauw tijd moet die gaten maak om het uit te halen en op hy tijd dan maak jy maar dan weer die gaten toe. Dan staan die company as ek verantwoordelijk vir die gaten wat gemaakt is. Maar as iemand, as 2 of 3 dit doen, of 4 dit doen, die ene gaan sê, die ene, en die ene gaan sê, die ene. En dit is waarom ek sê. Dan vraag ek, hoekom kan ons nie, die watsen moet ons weer terugkeer na experimentelkoorte en sit het op proef en kyk hoe dit werk. Want die mense wat het uitgelever het geen experience wat in Port Elizabeth aangaan nie. Hulle het geen experience nie om die waarheid te sê. Ek vraag dit net as een brief, baie dankie.
Dankie pa. Ons het ons talk hier so.
I'll send the invoice to Parliament. Just give me an email address. My name is Johannes Klaassen, and I'm from Port Elizabeth. Many people know me as Tolikis. I started the struggle in the fishing industry more than 50 years ago, and I am 50 years on the sea. According to Mr. Klaassen, no change has carried benefited from no change in this government. Neither co-ops nor quotas has given him any advantage of being a fisherman. The future of the fisherman is in the pockets of the rich men, and only certain people benefited with many promises being made about empowering the fishermen or the local fishermen in PE. The old government was better because today only the privileged are benefiting. There was the issue of experimental white shell mussel. He has applied, appointed a lawyer, has paid money into the department's account. After many inquiries, he's still waiting on his permit for the experimental white shell mussel. He's inquired about his company called Sibaya Company. After many inquiries, still no permit exists for him. There was a Portuguese company that has received a permit for experimental quota. They've tried using big technology or digi loaders to get the mussel out. And because of him, it has stopped this experimental quota. Now he comes to understand that there's a new policy in place where each one will get a right to go and harvest white shell mussel. But according to him, it will not benefit the beach, as there will be too many holes on the beach, and it also have some safety hazards towards that. He is asking that please bring back the system of the experimental white mussel system, where we could empower women and each one will use his knowledge to teach people. That's in short, Chairperson.
Thank you. We shall await your inputs.
We have translators.
There's 2 of them, the one is in Kosa, the other one in Afghanistan. Thank you, sir. One is Tosa, another one is Afrikaans. Now, the second presenter is Mr. Adams, Neil Adams, to be followed by Mr. Roberts, Gavin Roberts. We're moving faster. Mr. Adams? Where are you? Oh, okay. That does not assist us. Mr. Roberts, Kevin Roberts from eBay Fishing.
Present. Good afternoon to all. Since the morning part, I think that so far we've experienced a long, long time seeing the vision that the future will bring us into what is needed to be implemented. One can say, as you can see on us, on our face value, we've come a long time. I mean, yes, faces that we know, Ms. Maimuna, where we have started off, Mr. Johnson, as our mentors, and all that. It was not an easy road until this day. But to support this, it was once mentioned, the man that landed on the moon, he said, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. We won't be without obstacles getting this implemented that need to work for the fishing community. But I believe, as one of my mentors used to say, some might know him, some might say, oh yes, but his name was Mr. Johnny Iso, Comrade Iso, and even his name today appears in biography of Madiba. Then one looks at it. The future is important because what we are speaking here today for is for the born frees. And the born frees have got no idea what is happening. The born frees have no idea what it is to be born free, because they still see us in the same old struggle. And if it's not going to be improvement for the future, our born fleets will also go down the same road. When we look at those who have spoken in the past now, and how, until this moment, I can tell you through the chair, there is people that is desiring these things to fail. While we're sitting here, they're having meetings on other places, studying this thing, column by column, line by line, and all it, looking for red tape. And the advantage of them, who is benefiting today? The lawyers and the courts. If you have the right to go to the court records now, then you will find out. You will find out how many people is at court because of what happened in the past. And a disadvantage, because it's a civil matter, some people can't afford these lawyers, because immediately when you start over them, they will tell you it's 10,000 rand for the first consultation. And they're using our own suffering money to keep us out of the equation. Although they have done it criminally. And this must be looked into. Many people have lost out. Many fish farmers lost out on the quotas that were given, or permits that were given. Many people have been sitting on the street today because of the way it was designed. It was designed so that they can gain and the disadvantage must fail. When we look at this now here, we're looking at as a future for the disadvantaged and the fishing community to have to succeed in all this. And it has been referred many to the old government about a party that is irrelevant. But they used to have a say on a coin. Yen drag mag mag. Unity is strength. And this is what I would like to ask all fishing communities, stand in one unity. That will be your strength to implement this thing to success. Stand in unity with us. It will work. It will definitely work. And it's not for us today. It's for the future of our children. It's for the born frees. This is what we must look at today. For the born frees, and one must look And I always quote it because I spend a lot of time at sea, and I'm watching the behavior. I'm watching the behavior. If one look, and if you understand the sea and how it works, it becomes part of you. It becomes part of you. And all the behaviors must be respected. One never take notice, if you look into this, and then I will refer to scientists. The big guys have the money to have their scientists. The big guys have the money to put their own economists and all of etc. there. But what scientists doesn't know, the sea is a natural resource by God. He controls it. Every day can be fish day, but you can't, every day is not catch day. Every day, it's not every day that you can say, I will collect crayfish from the rocks. If you are not allowed that, then you will never be there. So, what is the fuss? What is the fuss in bringing, increasing and bringing us on board? And look at the corporation and bringing the disadvantaged people who have been disadvantaged all the years. Because they got no control over the sea, they only got control on paper. And everything that he said is on paper. Some of them have never even know what the fish like. The closer they have come to the can, opening a can of fish or opening a can of tuna. That's the closer they know about fish. Or eating it at the restaurants and all, while we were catching it all the time. It's time now that, what we would say, payback time. That we must have the benefits. Our women and children must have the benefits. Because if that is not going to happen, it was said earlier, where are we going to stand within the next 5 years? If this portfolio is here for the next 5 years, I will say thank you. Because it's not always possible. Because we have been through so many ministers, we have been through so many portfolios, we have seen so many faces, that at the end of the day, we are the ones that will start, that are reversed into the equation and not put forward. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I like it because we're moving faster now. We shall then move straight to Wotentot or Land Fisher Association.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon, goeiemiddag, molweni, do me lang, sawbona, assalamu alaikum. My Mr. Chairman, portfolio committee members, the honorable top officials and delegates from the various fishing organizations and unions, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Dula Aziz and I was nominated by the Hortons Holland Fishers Association here in after referred to as HOFA, to make this presentation to you on their behalf. HOFA is situated in the Helderberg region, and we represent fishers located in Strand, Lewandlen, Umzamo, Zola, Solaris Pass, and also includes some fishers from Somerset West and Makassar. I would like, Mr. Chairman, as we are described by DAF as being controversial, would like to make my presentation both in English and Afrikaans. Now, ek ken die apartheid system, ek het daarvan groot geword, en ek is 'n voortvechter, of kampvechter vir geregtigheid en gelykheid vir al my mense. Maar ek reken dat apartheid het nog Nampie die Helderberg kom verlaat nie. En daar word verdeeldheid onder ons vissersgemeenskap gesaai en geskep deur een spesifieke verkrampte individu wat finansieel en andersins baat vind daarby deur middel van sy kontakte binne in DAF en wat sy posisie as 'n sodanige verteenwoordiger misbruik en daardeur minder gegoede begunstigdes sy demokratiese reg ondermyn. Hulle recht tot armoede, verligting, processe, het daar gesteld door die regering te ontneem en te misbruik tot sy eie voordeel. die reeds sukkelende vissers en weduwees word blindelings en wetenloos beroof om die bosgelei gedreig en tactisch gemanipuleer. Ek wil dit onder die aandacht bring, meneer die voorsitter, dat die meerderheid van ons plaaslike vissers is redelijk ongeskoold en, is, en ek noem dit nie om hulle te na te kom of te verkleineer nie, maar om die punt thuis te bring dat hy hierdie persoon wat ek van praat wel hiervan bewus is en dit as een wapen teen hulle gebruik, in welke geval ook al om homself te pas. Now the primary intention of government was initially with the implementation of this interim relief exemption process was to alleviate or eradicate poverty amongst our people and to create jobs within the various fishing communities, which in our region, the Helderberg, has exactly the opposite or adverse effect or result. Nou, ek wil hiermee aanhouden, meneer voorzitter. Ons het by die IR, ons praat hier van die vorige IR's wat daar te veel probleme was om op te noem, waar hierdie persoon by betrokken was. Ons begin net by die IR7. Die communal permit system het te veel probleme veroorzaak in die Helderberg area. Dit het onmin gesaai aan ons mense, verdeeldheid meegebring, armoede en werkloosheid situasie het vererger, en dit het totaal in al die proces gekneelter, en die vooruitgang onder ons minder bevoorrechte laat hoge tyd vier. Hierdie pilot project, soos Davert genoem het, sal slechts vorentoe suksesvol geïmplementeer kan word, as dit aan die oprechte, onrechte, betrouwbare en eerbare verteenwoordiger, wat hier die plaaslike vissersgemeenskap genomineer of aangestel word, by een verification meeting, soos het noem, die dag gereel en geverifieer oorgelaat word. Hoekom wil ons weet, nadat daar Malesonde taal, skriftelik en selfs by wijse van vergaderings met dag, menigde by wijse van bedrog en vervalsing, as ook griefskrifte, dier ons gedelegeerde verkose bestuurslede by dagse kantore aan die betrokke ambtenare ingehandig, nie aan die plaaslike vissersgemeenskap van die Helderbergse pleidooi gehoor gegee en tot aksie oorgegaan het om hierdie persoon te tug of om tot orde te roep neem. We also would like to know, how is it in any way possible that after having been made aware of the precarious predicament existing in the Helderberg area, that DAF could invite and once again allow this man to receive and manage the IR exemption which is now being implemented on behalf of all for the beneficiaries of Helderberg. He was, unbeknown to us, Alpha, also invited to attend the meeting of plenary session on the 4th of this month to apparently discuss processes of the IR verification. Now, Mr. Chairman, we as the Helderberg or Holland Fishers Association, we do not, coming back to this implementation plan that you have on the table this afternoon, we do not object to this implementation of this bill. But due to the constraints, it might we might need to be allowed more time to needed to allow the fishing communities more time to buy into this whatever you have on the table, and to make this policy work. Now, our honorable Mr. Official from the had a presentation to us on the 19th August, where we were given this implementation plan, the launch thereof. And the question was that the IR8 would not take place, but we were told in previous meetings prior to that there will well be other further IRs until 2015. Now I would like to ask this question, that deadlines were set at that meeting, the implementation small-scale plan
implementation plan meeting on the in Langa, dates were set for this plan to start and end by the end of October, and the final list of verifications to take place at NET by the 31st and not later than the 8th of November. Now I would like to ask, is DAF on track? And we would also like to know that that would we still be, will this plan still be implemented by the end of December as was decided at that meeting? Now, because of happenings which took place within our region in the past, and I would like to refer to incidents relating to 20 years back, which you spoke about earlier, 1993, when the so-called colored people received support from the government. They only could get allowed permits, fishing quotas. They were given an amount of approximately 1.5 million to start a processing plant. And Mr. Chairman, these people saw nothing of this money. They received 300 rand, meager 300 rand, which they call a catching fee. But the permit was made out into the person's name, whoever caught the fish. And I'm not being racist, but that time was classified as wit en kleerling in this year. And the white people, white folks of the area who owned the boats and who had the money and who had the business acumen, because my people are, and I'm not saying this to degrade them in any way, Mr. Chairman, but that is to call a spade a spade. They are illiterate and uneducated. And they know very little of business sense. They have very little business sense. And they were, hulle was oor die kop geslaan. They saw nothing of this money. There is not a cent that were reported back to them what happened to the money. These people are fat cats today. They are richer than they were 20 years ago. Now, because of this, and they call it deja vu, it is a repetition of what they experienced 20 years ago. That is why they are very skeptical of this plan that you have on the table, Mr. Chairman. They are now 20 years older, and they've seen no progress or change in their lives, and they don't see change in their children or their grandchildren's conditions or lives, both financially or otherwise. And what further discourages these fishermen folk is that DAF continues to negotiate with the wrong people within these small-scale fishing communities and do not recognize or legally recognize or speak to the elected officials or the people that the people want to put forward. And my people feel that they have already been misled by DAF in the past, and why should they believe them this time around? And we, as the rest of these people, poor people, have to convince them, and we have definitely required the utmost support from DAF and assistance from DAF in order to make this new policy a reality in the Helderberg area. We appreciate that money is once again being made available. And what was conveyed to us by DAF is that the co-op process has been accepted by the small-scale fishers, or we were told that the ideas is spread around that to DAF that the small-scale fishers in the Helderberg is hunky-dory, that everything that the small-scale fishers has accepted this policy, that everything is on track and running very smoothly, and that is total misnomer, Mr. Chairman. And that is very far from the truth. There, however, is this thorn in our flesh at this very moment. And I'm not naming names, but people from Dub who know me or have heard of us, and we have this other organization also in the other world called Hafa. He is the leader or the front runner for Hafa. He is the thorn in our flesh and of our local people, Elderberg fishers. But we are in the process of removing or getting rid of this thorn in our flesh. And we have, at OFA, have had discussions with our members regarding the establishment of these co-ops. And we made it very clear to them that implementation thereof would be a very long-term process and requires good planning. And we don't want our members to blindly rush into a situation unprepared. There will be, have to be definite, attainable business plans presented to them. Nou, afgesien van die feit wat ek oor my plaaslike vissergemeenskap wil sê, meneer die voorsitter, namelijk dat hulle baie min geskoold of in sommige gevalle selfs ongeletterd is, respecteer ek hulle nogtans ter alle tye en ek sal hulle altoos met trots beheer en beskou ek hulle as oprecht eerbare, alhoewel sukkelende, doch hardwerkende vissersmense, wat op 'n wettige en eerlike wyse dit was hier deur te werk vir 'n inkomste om soetende kos op hulle familiese tafel te kan sit en met trots hulle kinders en families te kan sorg, wat slechts verwag dat wat hulle deur dag toegestaan of toegeëien word, dit was hier hulle regmatige deel aan hulle gegee of toegekend word, want dis al lewe wat hulle ken, die seelewe en hulle gesinne leef daarin van die seebronne wat beskikbaar gestel word, en hulle het ook doelstellings, drome en wense om vooruitgang in hulle eenvoudige lewens te bereik of te bereikstel. Hulle is ook ouers, een trotse vader wat graag wil toesien dat sy nalatenskap van sy gesin, sy vrou en sy kinders en selfs sy kleinkinders sal tot voordeel van hulle strek, sodat hulle ook in die toekoms suksesvol kan smaak aan kry daarvan. Now just to conclude, Mr. Chairman, my people had just about enough of this cold, cunning and conniving criminal that is amongst our people in our midst, and who has caused them only heartache and sorrows for the past 20 years since he has taken refuge there by us. I call it a refuge. And that they have had dealings with him. He thought or gave the distinct impression that he was untouchable. He broke the rules one too many times, and our people has tolerated his manipulation and mismanagement and their trust for much too long now. He has created havoc and division amongst our peace-loving and caring local society, especially our fisher folk, and we would like to rid ourselves of this menace once and for all. As the saying goes, enough is enough. Now we trust that further from this day forward, that DAF would in future recognize us, the Elderberg Fishers, Auditors Holland Fishers Association, and would include us in the preparation for the IRA verification and also for the planning of the co-op system which they have in mind, and that they would have any other further discussions with us pertaining to any business relating to the Elderberg region. The Hotels Holland Fishers Association are here to stay, Mr. Chairman, to fight on behalf of our local fisher community. We won't go away, nor will we vanish into thin air. So please talk to us. We are civilized, understanding human beings only trying to do our job, and that is to fight for the democratic right of our poor people. I thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, sir. You want to translate?
I may just summarize the Afrikaans
portions of the presentation, maybe? Thank you, John.
Okay. Eugene doesn't cut that.
The speaker said he was born under apartheid and grew up with it, and he knows that system, and it was abandoned, but it seems to him that in their area, the Heidelberg area, it still persists. And there are people who are abusing the position and the situation of the unschooled, uneducated fishermen by setting themselves up as their representatives, and unfortunately the department has so far been dealing with this person and accepted him as their spokesperson or representative, and there's a strong concern now that the real people, the legitimate fishermen, are not really involved in the planning and in the planned implementation of this new system, and there's a plea that the department, before further proceeding with the implementation of the new plan, should make sure that they speak to the Heidelberg Gottendorf-Zollerns Fishers Association as the legitimate representatives of the local fishermen. And there was a lot of reference to a person who is sort of impersonating himself or playing the role of legal representative of this community or legitimate representative who is not at all legitimate. That was really the gist of the matter.
Members, we thank you for that. We have the artisanal fishers, we have fowl, and we, in the spirit of following Van Dalen's passion about everybody being given an opportunity, we have since added West Coast Rock Lobster Association, Mrs. Bochenpool. Oh, you still are available. Okay. Now we have those three. I take it that we should just entertain questions now. Oh yeah, sorry. We also had Mr. Moss. I see here that Mr. Moss is included for tomorrow. Mr. Moss, I'm talking about Mr. Moss. You are part of the artisanal fishers. Is he part of? Are you together? Anyway, he did call yesterday. He was not disciplined enough to confirm, but he did confirm today. Let's entertain these few three submission members. Mrs. Stein, your hand. In the meantime.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I must unfortunately apologize to the other people who made the presentations. I was not here to listen to it. Chairperson, I'm concerned about the allegations that was just made by the last presentation about this individual that speaks on behalf of the community in a certain area. Chair, and I would ask the person not to name the individual here, but if he can maybe speak to you or any one of us after this meeting to give us information so that we can follow it up. Chairperson, and it's also a concern, and I think it is one of the issues where this morning and when we met last week with the department, I raised an issue which it is always very difficult if, you know, when you have these kinds of public meetings and hearings, if you are dealing with the correct people. And that's why I asked this morning that we give every person a chance to speak when they come here, because in one community there might be four different views. And we never know if when these views get brought to us as portfolio by the department or by whoever is the view of that community. So, Chairperson, I'm really concerned about this allegation, and I wonder if it's also happening in other areas, and if there are still people here that need, must make a representation after this one that was just made now. I would urge them that if you will have similar issues in your communities, please do not be scared. You don't have to mention anyone's name. You can speak to any one of the members of the portfolio afterwards and give us details, and we can follow it up on your behalf. So that when we make deliberations on this bill, we know that what was the views from the community is the correct view. It's not one or two people that came here and said A, B, and C, and we go out here and believe that this is the view of all the communities. In the area of Chairperson. So it's not really a question. I don't know if the person would like to speak on that, but he doesn't have to if he doesn't want to. But I just also wanted to say that so that other members know that they can give us the information in any way that they want to give it to us.
Thanks, but any further questions, members?
From Mr. Johnston, that I see that he is writing and is telling us that the cooperative have got some benefits in the fishing communities. Cooperatives are having some benefits. But he goes on to say that he gives us another concept of ITQ. So I just want to know more about these ITQs so that we are clear what is he actually recommending to us.
Thank you. I think those are the few ones that we have and well, the points have been made several times. Especially by fishing, about a number of occasions that they have been attempting to get through to Parliament, to also the Minister, and all the frustrations he has been talking about. A point has been raised by Ms. Panga earlier was about the need for us also to be pointed in our, to be more specific in our submissions, whether or not there are any areas that need to be challenged or changed or any such. And I must say, you know, so far, having no question but more of a comment, that the trend, you know, as you listen more and more, once again I do submit that it would be prudent on some of us to go physically into those areas where those cooperatives are working, so that we are able to tie or to match what we hear here to what is happening on the ground. So I always take a very keen interest. I'm aware that you are from Jeffreys Bay. You've always called wanting, you know, to come, wanting me to come through. But I guess this takes that interest further in really getting to say it's important that we do go there, even if we're not going to go as a committee. Those of us who can have an opportunity to go see themselves, you know, how these cooperatives are working. I take that interest further with some of the things that you have just said, Mr. Roberts. Mr. Van Dalen, if you have any issue, well, you were not here, sorry, I'm being unfair. Are you able to respond very briefly, if any, on the few comments and questions? Those that I presented, there was Mr. Clausen, there was Mr. Roberts, and there was Mr. Adil.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. We're looking forward at the proposal that you have made for our area. And this will only enhance what is needed in the area. And what I've learned forward in life, when I answer this, you know, when I entered into marriage, I had to do it through the courts of law or to a marriage officer. He didn't ask me how big you want your family, how many houses you want to have, or what you're going to have. He gave me that, and I developed. And I think this should also work out to the same. Give to develop. Thank you.
Any further comments? You saw that, Ms. Aziz? Okay, I tell you that the members are fine and also the respondents are okay. Those that shall have submitted any of their presentations. Okay, members, let's allow further. And that also takes good care of our time as well. It then affords us an opportunity to invite the Artisanal Fishers Association to be followed by FAO and lastly by West Coast Rock Lobster Association. Mr. Johnston?
Yeah, my name is Andy Johnston. I'm on the Artisanal Fishers Association. I'm also a NEDLAC. I'm part and parcel of the task team and drew up the policy. I'm with the World Forum on Fisher People. I'm on the International Fish Workers Coalition, of which Vietnam is a member, and the Philippines, and the co-opters are working in Vietnam, so I don't know where they get that story from. I also was a participant in drawing up the Living Resources Act, and we were dismayed that small-scale fishers were left out of the act, in those who sat on that for 2 years, and that started our activism. I'm also at FAO. FAO, the COFIC, Commission of Fisheries of the United Nations, since 1999. I've been a fisherman.
My apologies, Mr. Johnston. There are rules all over, even in your own homes and houses. There are also rules here. Those that take photographs in a parliamentary process are not allowed unless you are an accredited journalist. So if you don't mind, my apologies, I did not mention this part. You can proceed, thank you.
I've been a fisherman for 60 years, and 30 years of that was as a poacher. The very time we got a poacher was in this committee, the seats, with the so-called Colored Development Cooperation came out and introduced the individual transferable quota system. I think Mr. A.B. Williams said that side. It was 35 of us that rejected the system. And we became what we call poachers, stroopers, whatever one. We did not accept the National Party system. We ignored that system. It was a quota system introduced. What was said in that meeting here, that if you join the current affairs department, you will get a fishing line. If you were black, you should work in a compound as cheap labor, you had no right. So when people talk about apartheid, they don't want to know, I can tell them about it, because I've lived through it. The principle of this whole thing here, of our policy, must be a person who only thinks of himself over the less fortunate and the marginalized groups is an immoral and an unprincipled person. We must start thinking together as a group to work for the betterment of South Africa and for our communities, not as a person individually. The moment we change that idea, we're going forward. I witnessed the debate in the Living Resources Act Administrative Bill on the 6th, and I was concerned that this made at the lack of people's understanding of the real objectives and the vision incorporated in the new small-scale policy. It's got nothing to do with economics. Everybody's bringing economics. What we're looking at here is a further vision of building communities and development within the communities. It goes much further than fishing. I travel and I see other people incorporating now the new policy that's been coming from FAO. And I'm envious and jealous to see the woman making jewelry, collecting shells, boat building, you know, everything they do it. Doing now, building up the community. They're in tourism, they're in whale watching, they're in net building. And we're stagnant. We're supposed to be the forerunners here in Africa. Firstly, the statement that everybody knows the history of fishing industry is far off the mark, as the history is very much distorted and glossed over in order to hide the real truth of the disgusting oppression and dismantling of our rights, especially the traditional and customary rights. It's not only customary rights, it's traditional rights also. Because if you look at the history of South Africa, Muslim people, Philippines, all have a say in what happened here. Very few I know of have fully documented the blatant rape and racial discrimination that transpired in the fishing industry over the years. Our legal unfreedom is known as the Day of Judgment, started in this very room here. In the late 1950s, the individual transferable quota system was introduced to support the empowerment of the apartheid supporters and the racial oppression of the people of color. Those people still have rights. We haven't reviewed it. They laugh at us. 35 of us at Mad Beach that day. The only three of us left have not got rights. We will not accept the quota system as it is until it changes to the new system where we all can benefit. A right by South Africa here is not a privilege. It's not a right, it's a privilege. The government has to give it to you on loan. That's the difference between an agricultural cooperative and a fishing cooperative. We have to protect the resource. There are critics who come here when they have, you know, after the world has been made up, they come and criticize. They don't want to criticize. Why don't they come here and put something on the table as an alternative? If we've done wrong in the task team, tell us what it is. There are 12 different systems in the world. Which system do you want? If you can't put it on the table, don't sit on the table. You don't know. The individual transferable quota system, which is a marine delivery act, is based with a huge fees and corrupt practices resulted in extreme poverty, with many losing their livelihoods and a social vacuum, where the vulnerable fishing folks have simply become fractured and disfranchised. And the most disadvantaged people, I'm going to say here now today, I hardly see them here, the Cape Town docks people. They were abused. And they, even the sea from them was taken away. I've got a picture of it, I'm pretty good put up here. The sea is only for whites here. We don't know that, huh? They were moved to Langa. They could only work for the Portuguese boats as cheap labor. In the pursuit of fishing quotas, there was a general tendency to tell a lie, live a lie, and behave like a wolf in sheep's clothing. And this had, and is still well becoming, the winning recipe for many opportunists who are extremely successful in obtaining fishing quotas in order to enrich themselves. We have had a terribly skewed system of allocating fishing rights. Over Mr. Muller's listening. Over many years, that has been problematic.
Mr. Johnson, there is only one meeting.
I'm sorry.
There is no Muller's meeting. And our meeting. There's one meeting.
Apologize.
Thank you, sir.
In fact, many non-deserving recipients have benefited through the immoral individual allocation system that makes a mockery of ethics and righteous behavior. I had a run-in with Mr. Van Dalen on his dispute with cooperatives. You know, we fishermen, we say things as it is. And I did say to him, you are ignorant of what a cooperative means to the fishing community. He became very angry and agitated with me. But from my experience, I was in the beginning also ignorant of what really constitutes fishing cooperatives. And as a fisher in the language said, it must have walked and stoop. I then realized that to be conscious of my ignorance was a great step to greater knowledge. In the Code of Conduct for Responsible Fisheries, of which South Africa is a signatory, of which both Mr. Nasik Jaffa and myself are participants, we are now busy developing a code to address small scale fishing. And that will also transpire now in February. It recognizes that countries should appropriately protect the rights of fishers and fish workers, particularly those engaged in small scale fisheries, and goes on in section 4, 6.4, management decisions should take into account traditional knowledge as well as relevant environmental, economic and social factors. If any adoration should be given, then it is to those elected leaders of fisherfolk from Port Elizabeth who gave 3 years of their time with no pay and sat down and thrashed out this new small scale policy. Under extreme conditions, they produced a human rights based policy that is greeted with applause from many countries and civil societies from around the world. Yes, there are grey areas and still much work to be done. And to see it become workable. Like it is only an economic instrument but a development vehicle for uplifting poorer communities. The following resolution was taken in Maputo through the AU where I was a participant, and they are working cooperatives. So what they are saying is management rights can be effective when it's signed specifically on a community basis. This leads to community-based fisheries management, which takes a place-based approach to involving fisherfolk and potentially others with coastal communities or coastal regions in fisheries management decisions. Now, where the community owns the rights, we say owns the right, they protect that resource, and it goes a long way to stopping poaching. That's the important part that's being missing here. We need to look up the resource, and only the community where they have a right looks up the resource. And that has been a proven fact. Applying fishing management concepts in the third world, especially South Africa, is a complex and multifaceted task because the manager must deal with elusive goals, political interference, ever-changing environments, and the various government departments not working in harmony with each other.
The issue of governance, resource management, and the implementation of policies within the fishing industries are a major concern to several of us. The problem with South Africa is highlighted by the theory of farm dependency. I'm not going to read all that out, but we are chained to the whole concept of quotas. We can't get away from it. And it's an apartheid-driven concept. We need to look differently from that. If fishery policy is to be more successful, the government officials and policy makers will be required to face the most complex and challenging task of humanizing fisheries and avoiding conflict. Therefore, the authorities must firstly help and protect those who have customary traditional history in the fishing industry and derive their livelihoods from the fishing. In order to improve fisheries management, it's paramount that the promotion of group users' rights as an appropriate vehicle for a rights-based fishery. Where the harvesting is in a designated area allocated to respective fishing communities that would strengthen the ownership of the resource and enhance partnership in resource utilization. That's known as TURF, International Territorial Users' Rights. Notably, this should be one of the main objectives to improve compliance levels. It is where they take the joint responsibility for looking after their resource and thus achieving sustainable fisheries in their zones. It is a proven fact that when fishing cooperatives consider the fish stocks and fishing grounds to be their property, they voluntarily restrain their efforts and develop greater concerns for conservation and management. There is a major role for government to make sure that the TURFs are properly implemented, managed, and to participate in the compliance. Empowerment of the fishing communities through institutional structures and capacity building should be developed along with their own involvement in marketing away from the vulnerability of the intervention of middlemen, marketeers, money lenders, gangsters, and con artists. Development of the broader community requires a development agency that provides income from alternative projects, job diversification, and business, all deriving from value added within fishing, along with the community-based social, economic, and environmental monitoring structures. To go along with cooperatives, there is a need to set up proper management, participatory management, capacity and vulnerability analysis, rapid rural appraisals, contract resolve agencies and development agencies, social, economic and environmental monitoring control and surveillance structures, and most of all a body which should be in conjunction with the fishing communities with a demonstrative capacity to identify the legitimate fishers to participate in the cooperative. Small-scale fishing sector can become important under various operations for the tourist trade, as well as substantive in supplying fish, seafood to the local hotels and restaurants. The cooperatives can promote participation in multiple projects so that the overall community can reasonably benefit from it. There is a great danger that with any new policy, a sort of set of unscrupulous opportunities will emerge. Will begin to have the poor fishing communities interested in. But they are the first to manipulate and profit from the allocations. Greater efforts have to be drafted in the policy to ensure that these pretenders do not derail the objectives and principles of the policy. The major issues in the Code of Conduct for Responsible Fisheries, that is on the FAO, should be used as the guiding principles for creating and implementing the Marine Resource Act amendments. We are at a defining moment in which there is a revolutionary change to our fishing policy, which, if implemented properly, will transform human lives and conditions. But the danger is that if it flounders or wrongly fashioned, then it could have serious consequences. The problem of instituting the cooperative system within the fishing industry
To what conclusion? Eh?
Yeah, in the communities is not in the system, but in the people. As comparatively few people have had any training at all, and those who have benefited from the allocations are not committed to changing the rules. I thank you for having me here and giving me a slot.
People confuse you and me, and I always tell them that you are Johnston, and I'm Johnson. That you are given a lot more time has got nothing to do with any relation. I wanted to throw a question to everybody else here as to whether anybody knows where Farhut was stabbed. Nothing against you. Thanks for that, Mr. Johnston. Without waste of time, we shall allow Fau to come through to the point. You're going to speak where he's seated. Can you all see them? Okay, it's fine. Let's not waste time.
Ah, thank you, Chairperson.
Who you are, and so on.
I am Llewellyn Fraser Lewis. I'm the provincial treasurer of the Food and Allied Workers Union, Western Cape. Allow me to speak on behalf of the Food and Allied Workers Union Chairperson, and I will make a small but very powerful submission. Our federation has touched on the political and social aspects of the policy already. So therefore, as the alliance of the federation, which is Kusatu, we totally agree in their submission. We as the Food and Allied Workers Union will only talk to the subject matter, which is the proposed amendment to the Marine Living Resources Act. Chairperson, we were also part of crafting this policy at the NEDLAC process. It is our considered view as the Food and Allied Workers Union that the small-scale fisheries policy is the correct vehicle that will transform fisheries for the better in the Republic of South Africa. This policy will give coastal communities some sense of ownership through these community-based legal entities. This policy also seeks to advance the transformation agenda within the fishing industry. It is our submission that if this policy stipulation is realized, it will go a long way in changing the livelihood of coastal communities. It is our submission that as the Food and Allied Workers Union, we support the 5 proposed amendments of the Marine Living Resources Act. It is our considered view that the proposed amendments will pave way for the implementation of this policy. The policy will clearly define and clarify aspects that Marine Living Resources Act has been silenced on since this is a new policy. We therefore, as the Food and Allied Workers Union, appeal to Parliament to fast-track this amendment bill, as many poor fishing communities are anxiously waiting for the implementation of this policy. I thank you, Chairperson.
Straight to the point. Thanks for that. For some of us who also shall be leaving earlier, we are coming back here tomorrow at 9 o'clock to engage with other presentations. Okay. Thanks for that. And then our last presenter shall be West Coast Rock Lobster Association, Miss gaan pomp. Werk vast.
Thank you very much and good day to everybody. I'm really disappointed in you, Mr. Chairperson. You keep confusing the miss with the missus. Also really disappointed, I don't buy the newspaper because it confuses me with all the lies. And I did not get an invitation. I only heard by word of mouth that this meeting was taking place for a couple of days. As you know, as I eat tomorrow, today and tomorrow, so we're sacrificing this to be present. My name is Mamuna Pokhampo. I'm originally born in Cork Bay, a fishing village, the longest standing fishing village in fishing. Also, I'm from the fourth generation, and my son is also in fishing, he's the fifth generation. I represent the SME, small, medium and micro enterprise in the West Coast Rock Lobster offshore sector where we compete with the big companies. Now this didn't come easy for us as we created the industry. Now I'm talking about a history that we created, like the gentleman said over there, that we're coming on very long in the fishing industry. I was also part of the fishing desk where Winnie Mandela sat as a committee member. That's how long I've been in the industry. I've also been part of Jaapie van Wyk being the Minister of Fishing Industry. So collectively looking at that and being part of affording our disadvantaged people the opportunity to participate in a long-line experiment quota, to make it a quota. That was a mission. That was encouragement for our disadvantaged people because they didn't have vessels at that time. So it made them better business people. And if I look around the room, it encourages me to know that a democracy has come this far. None of our people, and I'm very disappointed that Shahi Mullah, sorry I must mention the name, that he can say Cork Bay has a co-op. Cork Bay fishermen, I'm not part of it, but they are long in the industry, they are very well organized, they pay their taxes, they pay their revenue, and to make a statement like that to say it's not well run, it is incorrect. If they must know that he said that, they will come here and attack him tomorrow, believe me. Secondly, Pedro Williams informing that that is not informative enough, if I heard him correct, I stand to be rectified, is a blatant lie. Now, if this meeting has come with our democracy, since Winnie Mandela was on the fishing desk, how long aren't we talking? And what bothers me is that we're taking this darn wrong. It is madness. At this small-scale policy, the cooperative, the trust, or whatever, it must be implemented for the mere fact is that our people have become educated with the democracy. None of these people can say they haven't become educated. For my knowledge is from what I've seen here and what I've seen in the many over 20-odd years, how people have been so educated, please don't tell them they can't run their businesses. That's a lot of garbage. Yes, we need nurturing. Yes, we need finance. But at this present moment, they're ready. They're very ready. I'm not here to talk for my personal self. I've never done that. Unless it is an opportunity when I can talk for my personal self. But be it as it may, the pretty Hingsmith is not here. He made a very good presentation. There's a process we follow, there's a bill to be passed, which has to be passed, without a doubt. There's cooperatives that must be implemented, it has to be done. Come on now, give our people the tool so that they can be more creative, but without a tool they can't be creative. I'm not going to go on to what the other speaker said, I'm just following a different type of pattern. Now I don't need to write anything down on a piece of paper. It should come from your heart. You should know what you're talking, you should feel it. Hingsmith and myself was part when the apartheid government wanted to evict our people out of Cork Bay, a fishing community. We then got together, we said, goodness gracious me, we are going to be evicted. They want to build a harbour in Strandfontein where the cement was sagging away. Am I right, Andy? The cement was sagging away. So they couldn't get us out, but had our black people not had vessels, we would have been evicted. It would have been a white area, period. Ask me, I made those people sectional title with my deceased friend called Valerie Smith. It cost me 8 years of my voluntary life. At this present moment, I'm volunteering to be the spokesperson. I'm not volunteer, I was nominated. But I don't get paid for my work. I don't want to be paid. Okay. When you look at life in the fishing community, it was bad for our people. It was more bad than what the people are talking about. You've got to be in it. You've got to be reared from it. You've got to feel it. Now, if we didn't make that flat, that beautiful flat against the mountain, sectional title, and that's where I was reared. If we didn't make it sectional title in the apartheid era, we would not have a fishing community in Cork Bay. And right along the coastal area, you're having tourists taking over the property. You're having tourists buying property which our people cannot afford. It's eradicating the fishing communities. That's why they're going to spread to Google Air 2, to Mitchell's Plain, to all over the show, because Gordon's Bay Harbour was closed for the fishing people. When they wanted to close Cork Bay Harbour, we objected, we walked our shoes broken. Believe me, guys, you don't know what we went through. It's hurtful, it's pitiful. All I'm saying is, which I wish to thank the Portfolio Committee, Mr. Chairperson, I'd like to look into your face. We'd like to thank yourself. From the small, medium and micro enterprise, Whiskers, Rocklocks, the commercial offshore sector, we want to thank you for allowing our people to participate. I'm just not saying participate, but really airing out their views and needs and aspirations. Because let me tell you, your consistency has educated our people and made a difference. Then also I'd like to thank DAF. They are trying their level best to improve the system that they have inherited for over the years. Now when you inherit something and you've got to make a difference, it takes longer. It takes much longer. So I want to thank them for their participation. Most of all, I want to thank our minister. Gosh, guys, if I tell you that I'm coming on since Yafi van Wyk, you mean I went through most of the ministers. And that is the truth. But I've never seen a minister take on this industry with such great balls. Really now. I'm sorry to use the terminology, but I mean that's the best I can do.
She's taken... We did not hear things.
You know, Mr. Chairperson, this angriness, this ugliness, this bad mouthing, this calling people names, this can't stop. We're here to improve the lives of our people, for heaven's sake. And you are not uneducated, the minister, the officials are not uneducated, we are not uneducated. So let's get the ball moving. Let's stop the sentimental crap, this interference consistently. Then I'd like to also say, from the SMME perspective, we totally agree with what the ministry has ahead. We totally believe that it's long overdue. Right? I would also like to reiterate, Mr. Chairperson, as SMEs, like I said to you, the history is there if you want to check up on my history. But we come from the stock that created this fishing industry. Not getting it from the government, creating it. which makes a vast, vast difference, and we were let down through the system. We couldn't get finance by our bank to get a vessel. We had to save little bit to obtain that vessel. We, as SMEs that created the industry, put the sacrifice ahead of our families to give that employment. And yet, at the end of the day, we still at the non-receiving end as SMEs. We very much at the non-receiving end. At this present moment, Mr. Chairperson, when you look at allocations and you seriously look at the tonnages and you see on a board, on a projector saying 4 tons U, 5 tons U, 10 tons you, and you come further down, it makes you sick on the stomach. When you see a business having a right of 111 tons, 283 tons, 49 tons, it makes you really, really sick on the stomach. Yet at the end of the day, the TAC is cut in the same system. So whether you're small, whether you're medium, whether you're micro. But Mr. Chairperson, the one thing our minister did, when the West Coast Rock Lobster and SMMEs at 2005, which Shaheen Buddha, they were all part of this whole system, they took away any handline right on that West Coast Rock Lobster vessel, on our vessel, and said that you can only catch West Coast Rock Lobster on that vessel. So we were discriminated yet again since 2005. So which means that if my boat catches Rock Lobster, I cannot do handline, and Rock Lobster is 6 months of the year, weather permitting. Right? So but now the policy has changed. Thank goodness to our minister for changing that policy to make us have multiple species on the vessel. This is the first time that she's done this, that your portfolio committee has done this, and this is fact. So now with this new dispensation, you look at the facts and you say, Mr. Chairperson, sorry, I'm just going to get too emotional. This new rights, the permits that was now issued, these people must realize that we got this rights expired. Next year's abalone, 2015 is West Coast Rock Lobster. God help us, we got to wait another 5 years, Mr. Chairperson, for the Hake, the Long Line, Nearshore Deep Sea, and the Pelagic to expire. That's how long we're going to wait. So if something is not done now for our people, we'll be dead by that time. We'll be totally dead.
On that third note.
Can I just finish, Mr. Chairperson? I'm a female, Mr. Chairperson. Can you just give me one more minute, please? Mr. Chairperson, and I'm sad to say...
One extra minute.
Yeah, I'm sad to say, according to Fish SA, say that the fish is under threat in the near shore. How darn ridiculous. Mr. Chairperson, I presented many presentations, and my one presentation wasn't taken seriously. Our whole coastal area is not being fished, Mr. Chairperson. It's not being fished for the mere fact is from St. Helena Bay to Port Barnes is no activity. And that's rich in fishing activity. So how can you, in your right mind, talk about non-basket of fish near shore is under threat, Mr. Chairperson, but you can give recreation and allocation, and you telling us that near shore, West Coast Rock Lobster is under threat, but recreation can have the glory of it all. Mr. Chairperson, on a departure, we made our submissions to DAF. We've given presented at the steering committee of the CEO the entire map. If you look at the allocation of West Coast Rock Lobster, it's only situated in the Western Cape. Why? Why is it only situated on the Western Cape shoreline? I can't understand. On a departure, Mr. Chairperson, our communities were so disadvantaged in the past. Please make it not a reality again. My last thing is, when we were children growing up, there were many months, many days, our fathers couldn't even fish because of the weather. It was bad weather, and the only source of food, Mr. Chairperson, that we ate was from the rocks. It was called crickles, it was called crickles, and it was called guts. So when we as children, all the families, we go down to the rocks, we'll take a carrier bag, we'll go down to the rocks, and we'll get some food for the day, Mr. Chairperson. We are denied even that. We were stopped that by the authorities to say, you now need a permit to go and take 10 guts off, 10 crickles that can't even feed a little baby. Now, with tears in my eyes, I say to myself, how is it that recreation gets carte blanche and other people get stopped that created the industry from taking the crickles and guts off, but we respect that is the rule. So in return, we also saying respect what we're saying, because absolutely nobody is listening, especially the scientific working group is not listening to the needs and aspirations of the people that were the industry, that created the industry. So all we're saying is, pass this bill to everybody, pass the bill. Let the people carry on with their business. We're bound to make mistakes, Mr. Chairperson. We're bound, and we must be allowed to make mistakes. I just want to say, on my last departure, the one portfolio committee mentioned seals.
You're departing for the fifth time.
With the seals, Mr. Chairperson, she is very right in what she's saying. Because my vessel was a vessel that is the cutting of the seals. And all that, all the parts of the animal was utilized and exported. So it was actually to save the fish, because the seals were eating more than the fish. It's not inhumane, I'm sorry to say. There's a way of doing it to make it humane. So that is also one avenue to look at. I want to say thank you very much for allowing me to speak and not putting my name on the list, like I should have. And in future, Mr. Chairperson, if you can please note my name there to send me an invitation so I can make a better presentation. Thank you very much for the honor. Thank you.
Let us thank you for those kind words and also the contribution you have made. Members, those are the three presentations, submissions. Mr. Panga.
I think I want to ask this question. As I'm listening, I think I'm getting to learn more as people are speaking. I hope that tomorrow, even as we were at this, this discussion chair, I'm even reminded of the things that you even said last year and the other year. You said, if a person in the Eastern Cape, maybe in Rwandan Mosha, Hamburg, they cannot even eat from what they have. How do we deal with that, even if they cannot sell and provide for their families because of this quota? It touched me what you used to say, but I don't know whether we are missing a big opportunity. In particular, even when I listen to people speaking here, that just putting small scale in the legislation to them is enough. Is that a right impression that I'm getting, that people, they're so disparate to say we must have the sector of small scale fishers being legislated and we will be happy? I hope that's not the impression, because my thinking is that the challenges in the sector are even bigger than just putting us and having a piece of legislation like this, the one we have. Whether this kind of legislation, I know maybe you like this legislation, maybe you've been oppressed for quite a long time. You see, the South African Revolution, we defined it in two ways. One, the form of the National Democratic Revolution was apartheid. What we wanted to deal with is apartheid. It was just apartheid because the white man was in power. A white person was in government, which was sitting there. That was the form. That was not the problem. The main problem was the liberation of the black people in general and Africans in particular, that the black people did not have access to the things it took. That was the problem. That was not Fairwood. Fairwood was just the present day representation of the problem. I hope that what we are diagnosing now, looking at, is not the form of our problem. And then we passed the legislation in this parliament today. We are not elected next year. We leave. Your problems are even, you said, hey, we missed an opportunity. Because the legislation takes a very long period of time. Look, this parliament started in 2009. Now it's 2013. Legislation should be implemented. Are we talking about, what are we talking about? We want to live a small scale for life. Is this what we aspire to be? Do we aspire to eat out of this only? Or do we aspire to grow? Somebody spoke about growth. But we're not talking more about, in this legislation, a thing the development should do. How do we tilt the balance of forces change? The dominance of industries like Oceana, and what is the other big ones? Those big industries. And addressing and bringing those who are not there to the center of this. I think that that's an issue that as a country we should be talking about. Are we talking about eating here? If we're talking about eating, the people of Hamburg should eat, to me, basically they should eat to what they have. They must be able to utilize what is there and eat. But if we talk about living out of the marine resources we have, not only living, being able to sustain our families, build ourselves houses and run a successful business, we must talk about broader things, bigger scales of things. I'm saying this because I'm not only a person who talks up, who looks on the fisheries. I'm a person who has an experience. I've seen this in housing. I have seen this in agriculture. And I don't think fishing people are different from those people here. I don't think that South Africans who are doing fishing are different from those who are doing housing and those who are doing agriculture. The problems more or less are the same. Because I see the very same people, black people, poor people, marginalized people. The same people to me. Therefore, to me, just using my head, the problems are the same. And I wish people could broaden this discussion and speak to realities. Speak to realities that other sectors have experienced. I don't have a problem with this thing of cooperatives, but I've seen people killing each other, fighting physically about these things. We went to Northwest there. Those people were cooperative. They were given this farm. They eat those cattle and they eat those things. Because those people were given something that they didn't want. There are people who want to fish. There are people who might be located in that community that is a fishing community who do not want to fish. Should they be pushed to fish once they don't? I don't think you are talking about that, something like that. Therefore, I'm suggesting that even if you pass this legislation as you go forward, you should look broader and talk about the packages that get to this. I can see you are so passionate that It must not be easy for the department. You must put a package of the things that must be done in the broader framework of the legislation. This legislation is just one part, but the legislation is bigger than this. And I expected you to be saying to Parliament, Parliament, you are not looking into these areas in relation to, and you are not doing that. That's why I think I have to go back even myself and look to the entire legislation again and see the areas that maybe you are not touching. And when I come back, maybe tomorrow or the other day, when it's summer, at least we start a good discussion about what is in the legislation. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. You know, when we sit in Parliament and we have to, like we are legislators, we have to make law to see if we can redress the legacies of the past. We must also be fair. You cannot give people rights and take away from other people rights. So, the National Development Plan of South Africa, which was accepted by this Parliament, says that there are 26,000 workers in the fishing industry that are working. Now, I actually wanted to know, are there somebody, I thought there would be a union here speaking for those people as well today, but the unions are not representing the workers in the fishing industry. So I would like to know who would be speaking for those 26,000 workers in the fishing industry. Is there somebody going to speak to them? I would like to know that. You know, because they also have rights. They have a job and they have an income and, you know, everybody says the big captains of industry. The reports that came to this Parliament said that the fishing industry is 60% transformed already. Yeah, well, if you believe it or not, these are reports that was given in Parliament. I mean, it's public knowledge. It was accepted to be true, unless it can be proven otherwise. And then, so we want to put into place the small-scale fishing policy, and we include it in the law, and we now say that small-scale fishes are recognized, and we must give them rights. But the cake is only so big. I mean, if I heard correctly, 10% of the rights, total rights, would actually be allocated to the small-scale fishing industry, of which 75% or 73% already belong to previously disadvantaged groups. Now, according to me, and you must tell me if I understand this wrong, that 10% cake is not going to go bigger. That 10% is going to stay the same as what it is at the moment. So it sounds to me like more people will be sharing in that 10%, which means that the people that have rights now will have less rights, because that's the only way you can share out rights. This is the way I understand it. And then there was this perception created that we can uplift fishing communities out of poverty through this small-scale fishing policy. But if the cake only stays that big, I wonder how that will happen. And I need to be assured that that cake will actually go bigger, because otherwise it doesn't make sense to me. One Math 101 tells me it can't happen. I mean, if the people are already struggling with what they have, how is giving more rights from that same cake to people help them? I think it's going to make it less. So, and you know, this is the problems that we sit with in Parliament now. I mean, it's not like I'm saying we don't want a small-scale fishing policy. I have critical questions which I need to ask to make sure that if you give rights to more people, you don't infringe on the rights of others. And that is the most important balancing act that we have. So I would like to hear from the presenters how they imagine that is going to work. How are we going to feed more people of the same 10% slice? I was called ignorant, but I need to understand it. And I want to also play the devil's advocate to say that I don't believe that cake is going to go bigger. And this is what my beperkte kennis I have done up in Parliament, they have told me already. I mean, there are promises that 70% will be allocated to previously disadvantaged, but we already know 73% are already allocated to previously disadvantaged, so of the 10% slice. And the fish are not becoming more. The scientists are telling us that the cake is becoming smaller. So maybe somebody can answer me that. And you know, if I can give everybody 500 kilograms of rock lobster a year, I would be very happy. But it must be there. I mean, you can't just give something that's not there. But you can't also give somebody just a wrapping paper of a sweet. I mean, because you can't eat it. You can't just give the covering of the sweet, and then when that person gets the sweet, he thinks it's a sweet, he opens, there's nothing inside. I mean, that would be also wrong. So there mustn't be false hopes here. And this is the way I understand it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I would like to be proven wrong. Thank you. Mr. Abba?
Thank you very much, Jefferson. I have a question for the three presenters. Simple one. I take it that before you came here, you had a look at the bill. It's a very short bill, only a couple of clauses, that you have digested everything that's written in the bill. And having done that, you have come to certain conclusions. What I'm looking for, Jefferson, is I'm looking for a straightforward answer so that when we decide to process, well, not decide, when we process the bill, it must be processed, and I can say that yes, these presenters had a look at it, they're satisfied with everything that they've seen in this bill. You see, there's one thing that you must remember, and that is that when you make a law, there is something called unintended consequences. Something that you never applied your mind to when you were processing the bill. And I want you to take emotion out of this. You know, the state has a duty to look after the interests of all its citizens. Those that have been disempowered, the duty of this state, it's a constitutional state, to see that it betters its position. So nobody is doing you a favor. It is the right of the citizenry that they shall be safe, that they shall be well governed, and everything that stands in the Constitution. But I am very worried when I don't get any response on what the bill is actually saying. And that gives me the feeling that we are all satisfied here, especially the three presenters, that this is the real McCoy. It's going to give us a real answer. And Jefferson, I just want to bring in a small bit of humor. You know, many, many years ago when there was this total onslaught on communism, an ignorant guy like me asked a professor, "Professor, tell me now, what is communism?" The reply was, took him outside, he said, "You see all those birds that are flying over here. Under communism, they all belong to the state. And so what's the difference, what we have at the moment? As well, you see now, every guy has got his own bird." So we must be very careful that we don't come here. I mean, platitudes are very nice, but that you should have actually taken a little bit of trouble to perhaps get some of the LRC was here, and I'm pleased that they were, but then when you make your presentations, surely you may find that there is a T that's uncrossed, or there's an I that's undotted. You see, when you pass a law, all those things must be in place, and you must remember, people have the right to challenge any law that's passed here. If a law is passed here, it doesn't mean that it is cast in stone. They have the right to go to the Constitutional Court. So I'm asking the three presenters, Chair, I haven't come here to lecture you. It is just that we must see that we do the correct thing. And I did not get that kind of feedback. So are you satisfied, three presenters? You've done your homework. You are absolutely sure that everything that stands in this bill, you are happy with. I'm asking the three presenters, Chairperson.
Sustain.
Sorry, Chairperson, I'll have to leave a bit early. And my apologies to the people, it's not that I'm rude. But you know, tomorrow my sister Maimuna has just mentioned it's Eid, which is one of the most important days in the calendar of the Muslim people, where tomorrow morning we all have to attend services in the mosque, and immediately thereafter we have to slaughter animals, those that can afford it, and distribute the meat to the poor. And being the patriarch in my family, I'm committed to do those things tomorrow, so I won't be here, Chairperson. Not because I don't want to, I'm obligated to carry out that ritual. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I think I also need to ask the presenters, the three presenters here. I asked it last week to the department, and I need to ask it also to you today. I served on the land reform portfolio before I moved to agriculture, and one of the biggest challenges that we had on the land reform portfolio was the formation of cooperatives, or CPAs, at that stage. It was one of the failures of land reform up till now. And I asked the department at that stage, and I know that there's this section put in place, what you will do if there's a dispute and all of that. I've also just seen that cooperatives in South Africa has a 60% failure as a whole, not just for land reform, black or white. It's got nothing to do with, you know, if you're poor, if you can read, or anything else. It's got nothing to do with that. It is just a system that is failing in South Africa. Maybe we need, as a parliament chairperson, to look at support and how do we deal with cooperatives in South Africa. Do we have the correct, if you want to call it, red tape in place, in order to deal with that, so that we don't make it more difficult for the communities if there is something that's hampering them while it is already a difficult way of working together. I've got nothing against cooperatives. As you can see, I'm a white person, and I'm told that that is how it works during 1901 and 1902 after the Boer War in South Africa. Companies started cooperatives, and that is how farmers get to do their thing. So I'm positive towards cooperatives. I'm just concerned that we are not really, I would almost say, sure and exactly know the steps that we need to take. And I would like to ask all three presenters just to give me your ideas on how you think it will work, and do you propose that we think about something else in place? At this stage, we are only focused on the cooperatives, but would you like also to see us putting something else in the act that if people opt not to form part of a cooperative, if they would be able to do that? Thank you, Chair.
Those are the few questions.
you take us? Oh, Mama, sorry. Sorry, Mama.
Chairperson, thank you. I've been listening, Chairperson, to the presenters, all most of them, those who presented today. It seems people are happy, Chairperson. Why I'm saying this is because everything, Chairperson, it has a start, and everything, it has an end. Maybe with this bill is the start of our people who all along they have permits, not the real thing. But this thing, the bill we are talking about, will enable them to have a license, not a permit. That's why I'm saying it seems most of them, they are satisfied as far where we are concerning this bill. And we are talking about the cooperatives many a times, Chairperson. We must not forget that these things, they do work. They have to work before. The problem now is that we don't know, you know, democracy is not like apartheid. Apartheid, it was focusing on very few limited people. The resources they have to feed very, very, very small portion of people. Now with democracy, we have to feed the whole of South Africa. And it depends on the budget. And we know that agriculture budget is not yet where we need it to be. And the time when the budget is okay, the cooperatives will be financed and it will work. Now the problem is that we have an orange. This orange, we are giving peace. We need everybody to have a piece of orange. And it will never be enough. It will be enough when we have fields and fields and fields of oranges, so that each person should not have a piece, should have the full orange. Now, these things will work. And we must not discourage the long, long discouraged people that this thing won't work. You know, it will work. Everything, it has a start, and everything, it has an end. This is the start now. Thank you.
Mama, hold on, yonke uchi yonke into, you know, Alpha, no Omega. Members, that is what we had to. I had a point, it just slipped my mind. But let's allow the presenters to respond. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Mama said it's a start, and there's an end, and there's a new start, a new beginning. We all know the risk. Let's not be fooled that we don't know the risk. We come from a risk of apartheid. Please let not be fooled that we don't know the risk of co-ops. I'm not into co-ops. But it may not stop her. I'm not allowed to stop her. This is her democracy. She's entitled to do what she wants to do within the parameters of the law. I'm SMME, small, medium and micro enterprises, that says, please give our people a start that we never had. We created it, but we are still in that penalizing position. And if it doesn't work for the one, it will work for the other. Nothing is perfect in life, not even I can get wrinkled, I can get aged next year, or I'll have a clear neckline and all that. Nothing is forever. Right. And as far as the scientific knowledge is concerned, that need to be rectified and ratified. Because you brought it up, I know I have to mention this. 2 years ago, I presented a proposal to the scientific working group. 2 years ago. In writing, to DAF as well, in writing, saying of what would happen in Area 7 if we continue fishing in that area. I specifically made tonnages in all areas, right? With the result, we have a state of emergency in Area 7. But they're not listening to us as people that's in the industry, that's fishing, that's wetting our hands, that's drowning, that's going to pay for our vessels, the cost of our vessels to get out there, our boat owners giving employment. Talk about factory workers, I give employment to factory workers. I haven't spoken about it once. But every time, as SMMEs, your TAC is cut to the pits that you cannot even function properly. Now please, the resource, there's a lot of resource. I was just saying earlier, if everybody had listened, that we didn't give the right to have multiple species on our vessels. Now with our democracy we have the right to do so. But we were denied it. That's one slight improvement. A slight improvement. If you had to stand in that queue on a Friday when this right expired, you would have cried your heart out. Our people didn't even have money to put the application in files. They had to carry it in carrier bags. Right, you are right, the lady from the DA, that we need a support system. I encourage that for our people. Although they're educated, they still need that support system, just a way to carry them forward. At this present moment, I cannot even fix my vessel, it's still on the dry dock because I don't have money. But that is not my cry to come to you. I've got to feel it, I've got to do it myself. But there's no finance for us to go to. Where is the finance? We don't have access to finance. We've been speaking about it for generations. Banks don't give you money. So what in a nutshell is that the resource that we have, a national resource, is not scientifically investigated enough. It is not. And even if you participate in the scientific working group, you're only an observer. You're only an observer. Whether they take what you say upstairs or whether they take it downstairs, God alone knows. But the paper trail that I have with my presentation shows that an island would be under threat 2 years ago. But the scientists took no notice. So how accurate is our scientific knowledge? Because they're not taking our history and activeness in the fishing industry seriously.
Okay.
And obviously the bill we're talking about is only for small scale, Mr. Chairperson. I cannot come talk here for SMMEs. I'm only sanctioning that to give our people a stop. But if I were to come, I would talk if the platform is for small, medium and micro enterprises, which I need to end off to say that this is the first ever that small, medium and micro enterprises is recognized in the fishing industry, the first registered SMME in West Coast Rock Crops or offshore. And throughout the meetings that I've attended in Johannesburg, it was the impression by everybody that the only people that was in commercial was Fish FA. Am I right here, Jeremy? You were there. He can verify that the impression that was given to everybody in that CEO delivery forum was that Fish FA was the only people in the commercial sector. Yet, we have SMEs in the commercial sector. And that in respect must be recognized. That I would love to be recognized. Thank you.
What's that? Is now Sheriff? Sorry, Falma. Still no response. It is now Sheriff?
Yeah, I'd like to bring out about the Honourable Mandela. The way we put in the TAC is done on a universal basis in South Africa. But what we are saying from the small scale fishers is that it must be done on a turf basis inshore. There is no maximal sustainable yield done in the inshore. So what would be a guideline is what the interim permit now says, there's so much fish in that area. But we're not only looking at lobster, because now we are confined to a certain species. We are looking at the generalization of all fish. And what we're talking about the basket, and the wasp about the basket, it refers to multi-species, but working within regulations. That would broaden the aspect of income to it. That's the first answer I'm giving that. So it will develop the communities. But we have to identify who the fishers are. That's important. Because once you allow the whole aspect of the whole country to get in, we're going to have a problem. I agree with that. So we have to see to the people who have direct livelihood income from the fish who go to sea. You can't farm and not plow. So that is the situation there. For years we've been on the fringes of society. We have never been able to be recognized as a sector. So once you bring a cooperative in, you can get the social benefits that are there. Unemployment, you can get your health, you can get what we can say if you were injured, UIF, all those come into them. We are fish taking our place within society. I don't see any other way we can do that unless you go in a company, but we don't want a company, because a cooperative, the important aspect of a cooperative is that you take responsibility for what is in the sea there, and you become immediately a warden of your area. That's an important aspect of it. Now, within, I'm sorry that I can't come here and give you a broader, maybe an hour and a half, of how I see it working. But in the Bahamas, the fisher folk have got their own restaurant, they've got their own supermarket, they've got their own supply store, they've got their own bottle store, which is important to them. But they're not even interested now in fishing, because they've developed themselves totally, and they're in a tourist trade. So that's what the cooperative brings about. Yes, we're going to need training on how to do the development. There has to be a development arm in the sea. That cooperative should have a development arm. The other situation is with the cooperative that we must guard against is corruption within the situation. They will have to come into it. But that will be the community's prerogative to see. I don't know if that, and the bill must change to accommodate this. We need it now. You know, we've lived in hope. Sitting here today is emotional for me. The people who have passed away who joined me are now gone. I can't tell them we won the battle. We want to win this battle. It's got to change. There's no doubt about it. But with every place that I've been, they've remolded the bill to suit the problem. Because you get environmental changes. They've remolded and you get political changes. So these things can change, but it must change for the benefit of the communities and for the benefit of the people. There's no doubt about it. You've got to accept it, you've got to change.
You still want to take a bite of that song?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, when you have legislation, policies, or any procedures, obviously there's review and maybe conclude the amendments. So when there's amendments made to certain policies or procedures or legislation, and that amendments are agreed to,
it obviously sort of eliminates what went wrong. You study policies, legislation, procedures, you review it, and then when there's amendments, it's to rectify what went wrong. That's quick answer and a straight answer. The policing thereof will come. If there's any other problems that may put his head up, we will have to look into that and see how best we can deal with that. On the issue of Mr. Van Dalen's 10% thing, this discussion is not in terms of taking from especially a big shark, or I would rather say, taking from a big shark, like you have mentioned Oceana or all these others. But people have to understand it differently. Those companies, if I make an example, they get a certain portion of a quota, like if I take Pelagic. What we're saying, if a certain company gets 15% of what is being allocated in terms of TAC, make sure that those shop floor workers, and I'm not referring to management, those shop floor workers, those vulnerable fish packers, get a portion of that TAC which is allocated to that company. Whereby, what previously happened in 2008, there was a reduction in the TAC. The possibility was that 519 workers will be retrenched due to reduction. After discussions, some of the workers have to take voluntary packages, which is most retrenchment packages. Those workers made sure that not the previously intended 519 people have to be retrenched, so the amount of retrenchment was minimized. So my submission is, if there's, and whether there's an increase or reduction, make sure that those workers, the poorest of the poor, get that specific portion. If it's been taken by a big shark, then use that for that vulnerable workers. I thank you, Chairperson.
No, that's an ongoing discussion. I was looking at FAO, and my observation was listening to the big boys, and there are three of them. The one is big, the one is bigger, the one is small. But the bigger and the biggest voice comes from the smallest. And also when you were looking at them, you thought the biggest one was to be the one presenting. And later on it was to be the bigger one, but ended up being the smallest.
I think it's 10%.
That's foul. And they deal with food. You want to make a comment, sir?
Mr. Chairperson, I could let it's far, but I never will forget it on the knee. That I would let can only under run to a body Elizabeth, was I and Jay and Lusitania. I learned that first of all, and it was a drinker that opposite, and now take back.
Net da. Oh, net da.
Yeah.
Oh, net da.
Okay.
Karan's more met da, khutus,
vorentoe gaan.
If you don't mind.
Net groot plezier, dan kan ik toch met je huiswerk ook doen. Dank je. Dank je.
The issue by Mr. Van Dalen, in a nutshell, we were talking about the cake. Does it get bigger? Does it get constant? Does it get smaller? That's in a nutshell. You want to control the
banana? Does it mean in Fao, the smaller one is not given food by the bigger one?
No, those are the in-house, issues. They're not for public. I think we seem to have, come to a conclusion for today's term, rather for today's session. We are to start here in this venue tomorrow at 9 o'clock. The following are going to be presenting. Master Pundit, there is Eastern Cape, Mr. Lulamile Ponono. Mr. Master Pundit shall be presented by Mr. Nasir Jaffa. And then from KwaZulu-Natal is Mr. Lindani Ngubane. But non-star, we have Mr. Nila Joshua. From Langaban, we have Mrs. Solon Smith. At Doran Bay, we have Mr. Peter Owis. Buffalo's Yas, we have Mrs. Sarah Nimant. Stanford, we have Mr. Sally Seister. We have a lot tomorrow. Khayelitsha, we have Mr. Sandile Mbali. Northern Cape, we have Mr. David Phillips. An individual, Mr. Maxwell Moss. Representative of youth group of small scale fishers, Mr. Gerald Clute. Investor of Cape Town, we have got Professor Butterworth. Haley Beach, we have Mr. Hendrik Latola. And then the department shall respond. So far, some of the issues raised just highlights, and also it is food for thought. Some of them may be or will be or shall be for this bill or amendment that we're dealing with. Some of them shall be for future attention. What I hear members and communities are saying here is that the catch that takes place in your locality must support local economic development in that specific area. You all know what is happening. Catch takes place, gets processed here in Cape Town. There is addition here on customary rights, addition being traditional rights as well. That's what I was hearing. The matter on poaching and seals is getting to be big. Somebody who came through to present, he was giving a presentation to me that was suggesting that one seal consumes a day 20 kilograms of fish. Can that not make you or make that seal the biggest poacher? The issue on transformation, we must deal with it. There is no question about it. I want to present something here for us to really begin to think about. Whether a co-op in the farm can be different to a co-op on fisheries. I want to raise that question because I still need to be schooled about the co-ops in fisheries. I get a sense that that fish that catch, they do very little about that fish. They don't deal with that fish on a daily basis. Like you have your cattle, you have your livestock, you wake up and then here is that chicken I need to eat now. And here is that cattle, I need to steal it or somebody must steal it. But with fish, the type of co-op that you have in fish is food for thought. The point is made about access to affordable finance. The last point I want to make is Barry here, one of our legal people, he's already started doing some bit of work for us, for trading industry to come before Committee of Parliament to present. There was a recent amendment in the legislation that deals with co-ops and present to us Parliament here on cooperatives. We shall work on the timing. On that one. I think those are the issues, among others, that have been raised in this session of today. As we had indicated that it continues tomorrow, and the feedback is going to be given by the department tomorrow. This is an ongoing process, and everybody else is allowed to come through, given the availability of space, rather. When we are to be dealing with the legislation itself, deliberations, we are going to enter into those after all this session on the actual bill itself, before we get onto the clause-by-clause processes, part of the processing of the legislation. I want us not to take much time as of now. We say to each other, until we meet tomorrow. This meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much for your time.